This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What's up, everyone? It is Wednesday, May the 7th. Steve Geller, Charlie Long, bringing it to 8 p.m. this evening. We've been talking a lot about LSU baseball gearing up for their weekend series against Arkansas. The Tigers game yesterday, a big old rainout against Grambling. So that game will not be rescheduled either. So it gets just chalked up into the void of, you know, games not being played for the Tigers this year. Unfortunately, not an extra tune-up game for the Bayou Bengals.
Yeah, did you see what it would have done to LSU's RPI? Like, they would have lost points even with a win against Grambling.
All right.
That's a weird system, man. And look, you know, I'm not saying that LSU ducked the game or anything like that.
No, right.
Like, it's just a weird system that you can lose RPI points for beating a team, regardless of how bad the opposing team is. I don't really understand it.
I'm curious to even know how much rain did even Baton Rouge get yesterday.
I think it was bad, man. Okay. It was bad just in the area, but it was worse kind of like later than I think we were expecting it.
It was definitely later here, it was worse.
Yeah, for sure.
Looking at the NBA playoff action going on right now, the New York Knicks and Boston Celtics. We've got Boston in halftime, I think, right now.
Yes.
Celtics up 50-41. Yeah, I was still saying second quarter here for me. I'm like, no, that can't be right. So I did the refresh button, and Boston having a 9-point lead at halftime. Expected them to come out with a guns blazing in this one for sure.
Yeah, Karl Anthony Towns off to a good start for the Knicks. But outside of that, New York's been not shooting very well in this matchup.
Bridges, I see 0-for-6.
Yeah, no. I mean, listen, that game one was Jalen Brunson. OG Anunoby had a phenomenal game two on both sides of the ball. He's a great two-way player. But it's not a great start for New York here. Granted, they're kind of playing with house money in this game a little bit, Steve, because they already took game one. And, you know, if they were to steal game two like the Pacers did to Cleveland, I think it would be more shocking, in all honesty, because this is the defending champion Celtics we're talking about.
Definitely be keeping tabs on the rest of this game throughout the show. Charlie, you mentioned in Sports Flash, the Dallas Cowboys search for their number two wide receiver opposite of CeeDee Lamb has come to an end. They landed George Pickens, getting a trade done with the Pittsburgh Steelers, really sending a third-round pick for the wide receiver. You know, did a kind of a late pick swap with a fifth-round selection going to the Steelers. In return, they're going to get a sixth-rounder. But I'm still a little puzzled by this trade and how they that this helps the Steelers out at all. I know they're accumulating picks. I saw their treasure trove for next season, but I feel like they're in the same darn position they were last year now at wide receiver, with just DK Metcalf as a number one.
They don't want to pay George Pickens. They would rather pay DK Metcalf the $30 million that they gave him than give Pickens the $30 million that he's going to ask for. Mike and I had this conversation in the first hour, Steve, that, you know, Pickens is a gamble play for Dallas, but it's very high reward because him as a wide receiver, too, to CeeDee Lamb. It just fits, by the way, on a football field as far as CeeDee being able to flex in between the slot and outside. Because Pickens is a strictly kind of outside receiver. He's the guy that's going to be on the boundary, make those contested catches, turn those 50-50s into 80-20s type of thing. And it's a good fit on the football field.
Yeah.
The issue with it being a gamble is his personality, right? And George Pickens is quite well known as being kind of a hothead.
Quote unquote emotional.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. Now, the interesting thing is that when they made the move for him, they didn't do what the Steelers did with DK when they made that trade. They traded a second round pick to Seattle for him. They instantly signed him to an extension. They have not done that. George Pickens has 1 year left on his deal. He's getting paid about $3 million this year. And it's going to be the quote unquote bet on yourself year for Pickens.
Yeah.
Because if he balls out as wide receiver two, we get someone on our text line saying, you know, y'all are crazy, the Dak stinks or whatever. Get back to me, you know, in February when Dak went through a season where he has 4,500 plus yards and George Pickens and CD Lamb combined for 2,500 yards. I think that's what you could potentially see. At the same time, I'm not paying two receivers 30 plus million average annual value. The kind of thing that happened with this offseason with the Cincinnati Bengals,
yeah,
where they paid Jamar Chase basically $41 million, and then they paid T. Higgins just under $30 million. That's probably what you're kind of closer to getting. Like, maybe you'll see it. If Pickens balls out, you know, he might have suitors here. It might not just be Dallas that's going to be contending for him, but you're already paying CeeDee Lamb $34 million average annual value, right, as your wide receiver one. Rightfully so. He's a top five receiver in football. Pickens has always been kind of the mold of a low-level wide receiver one, but if he's a wide receiver two, he is a super high-level wide receiver two. Very similar to T. Higgins in that regard, where, you know, Jamar Chase is a top five receiver just like CeeDee Lamb is, but T. Higgins is an excellent receiver in his own right. I see the situations very similarly. If they want to keep Pickens, I think they could. It's just going to be about getting the right number there, and I don't think the 30 is it.
Yeah, back with the Steelers, for me too, it's like I don't know how getting rid of another target for a potential quarterback and Aaron Rodgers helps them court him at all.
Yeah, I understand that. We'll have to see what happens with the Rodgers situation. It's going to last for forever, and we're just going to be talking about it and moaning about it, waiting for it to get done. That dude plays by his own clock.
There was some speculation possibly after the schedule release next week, Rodgers will finally announce a decision.
That's like the earliest that it could happen, I imagine. And once again, we'll figure it out. But just from a football perspective, CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens is a very fun duo. However, the gamble part of it, as Mike said, comes in with his personality. And he's the quote-unquote live wire. You know, if he's not getting the amount of targets that he wants, the amount of attention that he wants in the offense, he's going to make his himself known. At the same time, you know, I can't remember if we were talking with the voice of the Cowboys or the color commentator for the Cowboys, but they had talked about Dak Prescott as being one of the best, if not the best, leader in Cowboys football history. So, you know, Mike Tomlin wasn't really able to get to George Pickens in his couple of years in Pittsburgh. And if Dak Prescott can't do it, George, you got to do some introspection there, buddy.
No, I'm just curious to see what kind of exploits we'll see from a Pickens, you know, in the big spotlight of Dallas. Not like to saying this, the spotlight's not big in Pittsburgh, but
no,
you're teaming up now with CeeDee Lamb over there. Lots of it's expected. It looks like a great marriage on paper. I
Correct.
Agree there. It looks fantastic. We'll see how the other side of things play out now.
It's explosive on paper, Steve. Like, it's an exciting duo. And once again, I go back to the Jamar T combination. Because if you're talking about the best receiver duos in football, I think it's Jamar and T. But then I think now right behind it, on paper, once again, we don't know how it's going to work out just yet. I would say that CD and George is number two, in my opinion.
Yeah, we'll see for the Dallas Cowboys to still come in third place in the NFC East.
Yeah, exactly. No, that NFC, that division's brutal.
We're going to take a break right now. When we get back, Voice of the Saints, Mike Hoss, will join us. We'll talk about rookie minicamp coming in up also. Special day tomorrow, May the 8th, Cam Jordan Day. We'll be celebrating. We'll get into that with Hoss right after the break, so stay tuned here on WWL.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Welcome on back into Sports Talk, getting more into our black and gold talk to help us with that. Voice of the Saints, Mike Haas, joining us now here on WWL. Mike, how you been doing, man?
I have been great. I mean, you know, we all celebrate May 7th, right? I mean, they get their numbers. They get their numbers. That's a step forward for me. Now, they will sometimes change their numbers, but they got their numbers. And so, hey, I can start work.
I was going to say, I definitely thought of you when I saw that today. You know, Kelvin Banks Jr. seeing number 71, former Ryan, you know, former St. Ryan Ramczyk. I guess it's not official for him yet with his retirement, so I can't say former St. Ryan Ramczyk, but that is his number 71. Tyler Shuck, the quarterback, taking number 6. Last born by Willie Gay there. I guess an interesting choice for Shuck. Overall, you know, kind of now getting to step back a little and dissect the draft that we were all a part of doing. Just your thoughts on the Saints draft, and specifically just honing in that QB position, everything you've seen about the new guy, Tyler Shuck, coming in and what he's going to be able to do for this team, considering there's still a lot of known around Derek Carr.
Yeah, I mean, we know maybe a little more about Carr. Like, we feel like we're going to find out maybe sooner rather than later about whether he's going to do the surgery or not, but I don't know, it just doesn't. The whole thing feels about as off as it felt on April 11th when we heard the news, right? I mean, it's that same kind of what? So, yeah, I think, you know, Tyler Shuck is going to get every opportunity. I mean, he's been throwing. We've seen some video of him throwing with Bub and Juwan at Tulane. And he's just, you know, you saw him at Dragos. He's just a big dude, right? So I'm just interested to see. We have mini camp beginning. To me, when you say kind of the overall draft, I would have bet, not my house because I owe too much on that, but I'd have bet a pretty good chunk of money that they don't stay with 9 picks in every exact slot, right? I mean, I thought it was interesting as heck just to have 9 picks. I don't really look too much at the draft grades because right. It's about as, you know, as I talked to Mike Cotillier, that's about as important as the day one draft grade on Friday. I mean, but who knows, right? So, but I am interested to see a couple of guys at these mini camps, and that's the linebacker, Danny Stutzman. They got in the fourth round, right about kind of where they thought, and then Devin Neal. Devin Neal, you know, in some mocks and some, you know, PFF had him going maybe early, you know, 100. You know, they get him in 184. You're not going to learn a great deal about these guys in shorts, but it'll be interesting just to kind of see them, you know, move around, just doing something. But I'm just to have 9 new guys and then 11, you know, undrafted free agents, Chris Rump, who they picked up. So there's a lot of, as we've said before, there's so much newness to this team, coaching, schematic, players. And so we will learn kind of as they do, step by step.
One of the things I'm looking forward to seeing in rookie minicamp, and I know this is not going to be the telltale sign of anything, you know, set in stone, but, you know, the drafting of Kelvin Banks Jr. at 9th overall, he's played left tackle all 3 years at his time at Texas, but the team moved Talaese Fuaga to that spot a year ago after he had played right tackle for most of his career. Do they want to flip Fuaga again and keep Banks at his natural spot, or do you move the rookie? It's an interesting question. I'm just curious what you think, and I know we'll find out soon enough this weekend on what the Saints' plans are, at least.
I mean, I think you put people where they've played most of their career, right? I don't think they, in a perfect world, they wanted to move Trevor to right tackle. I think they felt they were probably better suited from a blindside quarterback to have Fuaga at left tackle and Penning at right tackle. But he played every game. I mean, if you think about where the question marks that this team had about Fuaga and Penning at left and right tackle, we didn't talk about them too much during the season. We talked about everybody else, but not too much. I guess I would have a hard time. I want somebody to make me the conversation, make the argument to keep Fuaga at left where he's only played 1 year, and Banks move to right. I don't know how you'd convince me of that. So I'm with you. To me, I think Banks would be your left tackle, and Fuaga goes back to right where he's played and most natural. But you know, who knows?
Yeah, I agree, Mike. And we talked with Drew earlier on the show about it with Tron Armstead and Ryan Ramczyk. And when Armstead retired a couple of weeks ago, the Saints official Twitter account posted the picture of Drew with, you know, his two bookend tackles, and they were so elite. And I think that's what the Banks pick really signified, is you're trying to get back to that. You're trying to get back to the stellar offensive line play, having those elite bookend tackles for the next decade plus. And I agree with you. Like, I can see the potential argument that Fuaga was so good at left tackle in his rookie year that you don't want to potentially move him. But at the same time, you know that he can play right tackle. It's where he played his entire career at Oregon State. I think, you know, the kind of question mark is, would they play Banks instead of moving him to right tackle, play him at left guard to start his career, and you keep Tali at left tackle in that situation? But at the same time, you're taking Banks at nine. I think you're taking him to play tackle. So I agree with you.
Right, because then in that scenario, you're keeping Trevor at right tackle, right?
Right.
You put Banks at left guard. So, yeah, I think you're right. By the way, I just got an email from Diane, so I did not hear Drew. Did Drew talk about what the Kelvin Banks Fuaga situation and how what you would do with tackles in that situation?
No, he talked more about Ramczyk and Tron and like his experiences with those guys that have just retired, and how some of his best football memories were getting the huddle with them. And I just think that that's kind of a, you know, fundamental thing for this Saints front office, is that, you know, the offensive line play, they're going to keep investing in it until it's good enough and to return to, you know, that form which it used to be, led by Armstead and Ramczyk.
Agree, and that speaks volumes to pass protection, one, but running the football. When the Saints are at their best, 06, 09, 11, 13, 18, look at how well they ran the ball in those years. I mean, yes, Drew, he's got 5,000 every year. We get used to it. We get spoiled. But when they were at their best as a team, they also could run the ball very well, and especially in those dominant years. And they had a lot of dominant years. But, man, you've got to be able to run the football. You know, it's got to be a factor. It can't be, you know, what it has been. You know, well, 4.4 yards, you know, last year. And it's in the offensive line is the first step. We don't know about Kendre Miller. Interesting to see Devin Neal, what he can do. We know what Alvin can do. And, man, that position needs to be a threat. It just can't be a position. It's got to be a big threat, like it was when it was Mark and Alvin.
Yeah, I got excited over the Neal pick, especially yesterday. Dettillier had Tim Brando on the show, who's done a ton of college football games, as you know, but just kept raving about Neal's ability, what he brings, and kind of said basically a new version of Darren Sproles, but more powerful and even faster. So I'm all excited now for sure, and I know that's been called one of those big value picks for the Saints in this draft.
No, I agree. He comes into a kind of a perfect situation. He's going to get some opportunities, right? And that's the same, you know, you see guys who come in. I think we talked to several guys about that, like Jonas Sanker. And he comes in, he's a third-round pick. He comes into a room of experience, but he's also going to get some opportunity. I think that's the, you know, and the same thing with Stutzman, because they played so many kind of two linebacker sets last year, fourth-round pick. But so there's great experience wealth there, but you're also going to get a chance to play. And I think that's the best situation to kind of be in, especially for Sanker and Stutzman.
It's also something to be said, Mike, about, you know, kind of changing to going with production over potential. with some of these picks that they made in this draft, especially on day three, as you mentioned with Neal and Stutzman. You know, Stutzman and also Kelvin Banks as well, consensus All-American guys. And then Neal had broken all these records for running the football at Kansas. They went with guys that feel like safe picks because of their production at the collegiate level.
Yeah, and they didn't feel like reaches. And, you know, you can look at where some mocks might have had them. But it's, they most all of them, captains, most all of them, except for probably Shock, who had his injury situation, most were there, were available. You know, you get, you know, the top offensive linemen as far as awards go. You had captains who were available to be out there and were first-team conference, second-team conference, you name it, up and down the board. And they got nine guys, right? In the last 5 years, they've averaged, I think, 5.6 players a draft. 5.6. And now you got nine. And, you know, I think that's part of the rebuilding kind of formula. You know, I think you're still in the time of pushing the chips to the middle to win it all has turned. And, you know, the other teams in the NFC South have been picking 8, 9 every year for the last 5. So it was great to see the Saints get 9 good players coming in and compete and, you know, get healthy, stay healthy, and build this team. It's exactly like they talked about the night of the draft, inside out, defensive line, offensive line. That's where this focus is going to be, and that's where they've got to get better, because if you can stop the run and run the football, so many other things get better.
Just a week from today, Mike, talking to the voice of the Saints, Mike Hawes here, the schedule for the NFL will be released. And curious, what do you look for when the schedule comes out right away? I mean, for me, I'm definitely honed into the season opener, what the home opener is, any potential cold weather games, and definitely primetime matchups for this Saints squad. Just curious if you look at the schedule any kind of differently.
Well, already they travel humongously, right? I mean, they travel mileage-wise more than they have, you know, since they've really gone to this 9-game, you know, when you're on the road, which is really just 21 and 23, you really can't count even years because they've only got, you know, 8 road games. So you can't do, you know, that. I think I look at first cold weather games. What has bothered me in the past is that I feel like the Saints have been up against it, and how they start the season and how the NFL finishes them on the season. So last year, 3 of their first 5 games on the road, and that's the way it's been in 3 of the last 4 years, 3 of your first 5 on the road. And then they finish with 3 of the last 5 on the road, and that's the third time in the last 4 years where you've had 3 of your last 5 on the road. So you open the season, those first 5 games, mostly on the road. You close the season, big 5 games, mostly on the road in 3 of the last 4 years. So I kind of look at that because I think those stretches of the season are so important. Now, unfortunately, the last few years, those last 5 haven't been as important. It always feels like the Saints got to win the last 5 to be a part of it. And because the way the schedule is with the travel, what worries me is prime time, because I don't think the Saints, I don't think they're going to get a home Monday night. I'd be surprised, unless it's Tampa. Their home schedule, they only have one team that has double-digit wins, Tampa. That was it. One. So I'm not sure they're going to get a Monday home. I feel like they're going to be a Thursday prime time, maybe once, maybe twice. Now then this schedule of Miami, 2 trips to the West Coast, a trip to Buffalo. I mean, you're all over the place. And how those prime time games match up with the schedule, to me, is going to be important. You're going to have some short weeks. And are those short weeks really, really hard? You know what I mean? Do you have to go to Miami, you know, to a different place? They only have, what is it, 1, 2? They have, if you don't count the home games, they have 2 games on the road in the central time zone. Everything else is West Coast, East Coast. So that's kind of what I look at. I just feel like the NFL does not want the Saints at home early in the season because of hurricanes. And I think that's unfair because look at the teams on the East Coast that have the same situation. But for whatever reason, I just feel most of their games in early in the season are going to hedge to the road because of hurricane season. And they've done well getting out of the gate first game, first two games, but in those first five, not very good. So I get into the schedule. We're going to talk about it next week, but I'm just touching the surface of how deep I get into the schedule because I just love it. Right.
Well, hopefully we do get those road games early in this schedule for Chicago and Buffalo at least.
Yeah. I mean, we can't discount Nashville. You get Nashville in late December or January. I mean, then, you could get anything. So there's, a lot of outside games, possible cold weather games. It's when do you play your division? When do you play? So the Saints have four games against teams in the playoffs. One's at home, Tampa, right? But three are on the road, Buffalo, Rams, Tampa. Now, Tampa has five games against teams that were in the playoffs, but all five are division winners. And four are on the road. One at home is Philly. So it's kind of when – and I'm also – the last thing I'll say about the schedule, because I know I get a little crazy. It's like, when do you play the South, right? I don't know why they've decided it's going to be either bunched at the beginning or bunched at the end and not like, just kind of mixed in there. It's either, what was it last year? You had one, two, three, four of your first, three of your first six, Carolina, Atlanta, Tampa, three of your first six. So you're halfway done. Your NFC South is so early. So I just don't like to see them bunched up like that. I don't like three home games in a row. And frankly, I don't like three road games in a row. There's no reason for it in this day and time.
Awesome stuff, Mike. One more thing before I let you go. We talked about today you were celebrating getting some of the numbers for Saints jerseys. Well, tomorrow we get to celebrate Cam Jordan Day, getting honored by the city council for all the work he's done for the city and his charity work. Just a great guy, not only on the field but off of it. Has meant so much for the black and gold. And sure, I think one day he'll end up in that ring of honor as well. But looking forward to celebrating Cam Jordan Day tomorrow.
Dude, we take Cam for granted. He's the best. So I know you got to go. So when he in 2011 when he was drafted, the iPhone was an iPhone 4S. You know what the S stood for? Siri. It was brand new. The new voice assistant. You couldn't get an Uber or a Lyft in New Orleans. That was 4 years away. Instagram, less than a year old. The guy has been around. Through a lot of stuff, missed two games. So that's what he's going to pass, all things being, normal. You had Drew on earlier. He'll pass him for the most Saints games ever and also pass him for the most regular season games by week three. He's missed two, one from injury, a broken orbital eye socket, which would keep me out for 10 years, right? He missed a game, and then COVID. I mean, he's amazing.
Yeah, definitely a guy that has meant so much to the team, the locker room, and just, like I said, the community overall. Just nonstop work. Since getting drafted here, spending his off days going to different schools is awesome stuff to me, and definitely a great representative of the city. Happy for him, and we'll definitely be sporting some Cam Jordan nostalgia gear tomorrow for Cam Jordan Day. Mike, thanks so much for joining us tonight, and be talking to you soon as we get the schedule coming out next week.
You bet, man. Looking forward to it. Mini camp, and then the schedule, and we'll see how the NFL has dictated our lives for the next 5 months.
Appreciate you, Mike. Have a great one. Man, when's Mike Haas Day coming?
We don't have that. We stop stuff. You get to my age, you don't have that. You just have Thursday, and then you have Friday.
Appreciate you, Mike. Have a great one tonight.
Y'all too, fellas.
Thanks, Mike.
Mike Haas, voice of the Saints, joining us there. Taking a break. We'll be back with more of Sports Talk as we wind things down right here on WWL. Who dat? Back here on Sports Talk, end of three in Boston right now. The Celtics have a 12-point lead over the Knicks at 73-61. Looking at some of the numbers from the game, you got Jaylen Brown with 20 points for the Celts. Also, Derek White chiming in with 18. Man, Charlie, brutal. We're talking about Mikal Bridges earlier. He's now 0 for 8 on the evening.
Yeah, and Jalen Brunson's kind of having a quiet night, too, offensively, Steve.
Not a good recipe for the Knicks.
It might be one of those. He's saving it for game three at MSG. Like, the fact that this is a 12-point game is actually a little impressive because Boston had stretched out to 20 in the third quarter. So New York goes on a little bit of a run there to end the frame. You know, they're keeping it somewhat competitive. But if Boston gets out to a good start in this fourth quarter, you can expect Tibbs to probably rest his guys.
Yeah, former Pelican Josh Hart leading the way for the Knicks with 21 points on New York's side. We're taking a break here on Sports Talk. We'll wrap things up when we get back right after this. Stay tuned on WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk. I want to remind everyone about our Rewind feature. The Odyssey app lets you jump back to the moments you missed on any show here on WWL. Just download the free Odyssey app, search for WWL, then get started. Listen or re-listen to any of the WWL guest commentary or shows that you love when you want to. Rewind, an amazing feature on the free Odyssey app. Like if you missed 520 when Drew Brees came on to join me and Mike Dottiglia and Charlie, you can rewind on the Odyssey app and listen to that. We'll also have that uploaded for you at WWL.com on our on-demand page where you can check out everything that Drew Brees said there as he gets ready to open a new Surge Entertainment venue in Metairie. Definitely looking forward to checking that out. My kiddo is 15 years old, just was going in driver's ed classes, so I want to take him on the go-kart track.
Yeah, no, go-kart. I mean, it sounds like a gigantic establishment, so I'm sure it'll be a lot of fun. Real quick, Steve, as we're heading to the top of the hour before we get out of here, I want to get your quick pick for tonight's matchup, OKC and Denver, Game 2. Do you think Denver stuns the world and takes Game 2 and goes up 2-0 and heading back to Denver, or does OKC even it out?
No, much like this game in Boston this evening, I think the home team's going to even that series up. Was really shocked to see OKC go down to Denver in that first meeting.
They stole it.
I do love watching Nikola Jokic, except when the Pelicans are playing against him. But for me, one of those guys, I just can't get enough watch with one of the best in the NBA. But I do think OKC kind of tightens things up and take back one on the court this evening and look forward to trying to steal one in Denver in Game 3.
I expect OKC to win, but man, I'm rooting for Jokic and the Nuggets to just shock the world. I mean, that is such a gigantic resume builder, what he could potentially do to an elite OKC squad that just rolled through the NBA this season.
Thanks, folks. Thanks for listening to Sports Talk this evening. We'll be back with even more tomorrow. Have a great night.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.